In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The message of these Advent days is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And yet, we hear what seems to be a conflicting message throughout the same 4 weeks. A message of comfort, comfort, ye my people. Many wonder, where is the comfort? And being told at every turn that we should be on our knees, changing our ways, drowning the old man. Where's the comfort in bold reminders from men dressed either in camel's hair or alps that we are sinners in need of help? Twice a year, Advent and Lent, the church finds herself in seasons where the repentance call is before her vividly, in readings, in colors, in hymns, and especially from the pulpit. But for many, the church's persistence in dwelling on the words of John the Baptist and the prophet Isaiah just doesn't sit well. Partly because it tends to have a dampening effect on the advanced celebration of Christmas that's going on with great energy everywhere, but mainly because it hits a nerve. Repentance. Some say, that's just one more case where the church is incredibly out of step. The church doesn't have a clue as to what people are really looking for in these weeks leading up to Christmas. Frazzled, busy people are receiving just about the opposite of what they want. Wilderness preachers talking about sin? How does that fit with office parties and the ubiquitous carols? And is there really any need to talk about readiness? Look around you, everyone is consumed with getting ready. In fact, the countdown has been going on since last Christmas. The church and the world are worlds apart. The world doesn't understand readiness. The world doesn't understand Christmas. And the world would shut out the voice of John the Baptist or anyone drawing attention to the main problem on this planet, sin. And the world would say that such subjects are not appropriate in a season of celebration. Well, the world is not in any position to speak of the appropriateness of anything in the church. In order to understand the profoundly beautiful appropriateness, one has to see that nothing brings greater joy and peace in this life. Nothing turns everything around and heads it in the right direction like the forgiveness of sins. A wonderful example of this is the well-known vision of Isaiah, in which he is touched by the coal of forgiveness. There stood Isaiah, a mortal being in the presence of his Lord, with angels crying out their sanctus with such power that the foundation of the building was shaking. And yet all Isaiah could see he could feel was his own sinfulness. He was overwhelmed by it, and it caused him to cry out, "Woe is me." But then God acted. God reached down with a beautiful, merciful, refreshing coal of forgiveness, making everything right. And being made right frees Isaiah to go to work for his Lord and his gospel. And then he is ready and he is able to say, "Here am I, send me." You see, repentance and the certain gracious gift of forgiveness is the way to prepare for everything in this life. Advent, with its repentance theme on one hand and its comfort theme on the other hand, is the law-gospel balance in a season. Luther says this. "This is repentance. If I believe God's word, which reveals to me and accuses me of being a sinner and condemned before God, and am terrified with all my heart, because I have ever been disobedient to my God, have not rightly looked upon and considered his commandments, much less kept the greatest or the least, and yet I do not despair. But let myself be directed to Jesus to seek mercy and help with him, and also firmly believe that I shall find it. For he is the Lamb of God, destined from eternity for this purpose, that he shall bear the sins of the whole world and pay for them by his death." How do we prepare in these last days? We seek mercy and help from the one who loved us enough that he came down into the darkness of a womb to become man in obedience to his Father. We cling with confident belief to the one who suffered wrath, was stripped of all of his honor, was led to slaughter in obedience to his Father, all to make us heirs in his kingdom. The reason that all of this is so important is that the kingdom spoken of by John the Baptist and later by Christ himself is a kingdom of the heart. It's not seen with eyes. It's invisible. It's spiritual. What God has established in the hearts of men. And so repentance is how the heart is prepared for the kingdom, in the kingdom. Repentance is a prelude to joy. That's the comfort, ye my people. That's the beautiful gospel shining through. That's God just waiting to shower his most refreshing gift on his children. Sees repentance, and he reaches out with the blessed peace of forgiveness like he gave Isaiah. Repentance does fit the season. Comfort ye does fit the season. A beautiful season about the Lord who was and is to come, the Lord in a manger. The Lord in means, and the Lord who will come again as a bridegroom to carry home his bride to the church. Paul Gerhardt, the most eloquent of all Lutheran poets, teaches through many of his hymns how we are to view man's sinfulness in light of the blessed incarnation. He says, from the bondage that oppressed us, from sin's fetters that possessed us, from the grief that sore distressed us, we, the captives, now are free. Oh, the joy beyond expressing when by faith we grasp this blessing. And to you we come confessing, your great love has set us free. Gracious child, we pray, oh, hear us. From your lowly manger, cheer us. Gently lead us and be near us till we join your choir above. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.